following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for calling us in on Still Just Fishing Show. Pull the microphone around here where I can get to it here. Got Captain Chris Nichols and Ted Hartman in here with me this morning.
Holy there.
We went fishing yesterday, so we'll talk about a little bit of that too. And, you know, looking at today's weather, you got a weak low pressure is going to linger over the region through the weekend. Showers and thunderstorms are expected. Imagine that. With unsettled pattern over the next few days, but winds will stay light. And shallow seas outside of storms. So high pressure will build south and southeast of the region early next week. And don't too much of that high pressure, to be, believe it or not. But today you got west-southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south-southeast in the afternoon, seas 1 to 2 feet. Tomorrow, southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south-southeast, 10 to 15 in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3 feet. In about 5 seconds. So looking at this, we got a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Tomorrow, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Don't know really. This weather's been so unsettled, so we can't really tell exactly, you know, how much or when and all that stuff we're going to have.
Yesterday it was nice.
It was beautiful yesterday, and, you know, having that beautiful weather like we did, I wonder if that pressure was real high or whatever, you know. Not having a barometer on this boat like I had on my Carolina skiff kind of throws me off, you know, from what I've done over the years. But I know we got Captain Chip Wingo. He's probably got a charter. Let's get him on here. Morning, Chip.
What's happening, guys?
Morning. Hey, brother.
How you doing today?
Good. Good. Going to be a nice day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got old Uncle Leon coming up here today to terrorize the water up here by Beach Boulevard. But it should be a good day. Yesterday was a weird bite, just the valley yesterday in the afternoon, and it was tough. I mean, the tide we had was really tough, but we managed a few fish out of there, and that water's still kind of dirty down there. But fish, it's just hard to get them to eat sometimes.
It's not real clean up here.
Now, I tell you, though, the funny thing is, the further you get towards the valley from here up into the point where you go into the valley, the water's been nicer. So it's one of those weird situations where there's a little break in that water clarity. So it is a little bit cleaner up around the Beach Boulevard Atlantic area.
Is it dark but clear, Chip?
It's that dark stain, yeah.
But it's clear?
It is clear enough to where you can see some of the oysters in the sandbars.
Yeah.
So it's better, but it's not, you know, awesome.
Right.
So, but the bite's been okay, so, you know, if the fish will chew, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, roger that.
Yeah, it was a tough bite yesterday.
Yeah. Did you bull red fish at all yesterday, Vic?
No, we didn't. We just hunted for creek reds.
Gotcha.
We started to hunt for trout in the morning, but actually that tide was already so low where I was, you know, fishing at up toward Nassau and stuff. The oysters were already showing by the time we got up there. And, you know, when it gets low like that, I don't really like it that much in the areas that we were at. So we kind of changed our game plan and went after some creek reds. And, I mean, we saw fish, you know, and it was a tough bite, though. Let me tell you, we switched up baits. You know, we had mudminnows and crab. And
a lot of bait up in there, too, on the falling tide.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw a bunch of bait.
And after that tide changed, they disappeared.
Yeah, we hit this one line of oyster beds that had several fish working up and down. And we caught two there. And I can't. I think Chris pulled him out a real good catfish out of there.
Yo, but, gave but, me a fit. A
couple of oyster fish.
Yeah.
But we
I
got,
was trying to build my own reef.
I think that's where we got two reds in there, I think. Uh-huh. One oversized and one keeper. And then when that tide turned, I mean, it was just there was several fish working up and down. And then when that tide turned, they were gone. They just disappeared.
Yeah. That happened to me, was it Wednesday, fishing Sisters Creek. We had, you know, the last of the outgoing tide had just a fantastic bite going on. You know, I think we had like 15 reds, a nice trout, a couple of smaller trout, and a nice flounder. And then it just, it was gone. I mean, as soon as the tide turned, nothing. The bait disappeared. Everything disappeared. So
but that
was interesting.
That was kind of strange where we were at because mm-hmm. we kept seeing the bait there. And
tons of bait.
You know, it was just, I think there was more catfish than one in there, though, the way they kind of nibbled our crabs and stuff like that. And then Chris finally pulled one out so we could see what it was.
Yeah, I was working on my limit of cats and competing with trying to upstage Vic's limit of blue crabs.
Yeah, man. I mean, that the blue crabs, man, are on that bait. Let me tell you. And you know what was so strange? We caught several stingrays on mud minnows. Had the mud minnows in their mouth.
And they pounded the bait. Yeah, they pounded the bait. And when you first hit them, they exploded out of the water. And you thought, yeah, there he is.
Yep.
Nice red.
Yeah, and it was stingrays. And
until he starts planing toward you.
They were eating those mud minnows, man. I could not, you know, as much little grass shrimp as there is around, I couldn't believe they were eating those mud minnows as much as they were.
Yeah, they were vicious. I've never seen them that aggressive.
I've been doing better on mud minnows than anything else right now. Mm-hmm. But the weird part was every single fish I cleaned the other day was the flounder, the trout, and the reds were loaded with small blue crabs and, you know, little stone crabs and fiddlers. So, I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, it's like I guess they're getting up in the grass and feeding on them or catching them on the flush.
Well, I think
we're the fish fighting.
I think the only thing
I brought you down here.
I think the only thing we caught on mud minnows yesterday was stingrays and crabs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's funny how they eat different things in different areas.
It is,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you go down to the valley right now, south of the valley, and it's loaded with bait. There's bait everywhere.
Yeah, there was bait everywhere yesterday up here too.
I think crab was so good on there because there was so many blue crab out there. Y'all brought in two.
Yeah.
That one oyster bed we were at, I had four crabs on.
Mm-hmm.
I only got one of them in the boat, but, you know, I mean, I had enough crabs. I wasn't trying to put them in the boat, but I had like two or three of them right up next to the boat. When I go to pick him up, he just come off. But I should have netted him and got him out of there, but you know, I didn't know how long we were going to stay there. Usually if I'm sitting there fishing a spot and I'm going to be there a while, I'll usually like try to get them out of there so that they don't get back on your bait because, well, they'll get right back on your bait, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah,
they're like flies.
Yeah. I can't get over how much a crab can eat.
Sounds like me.
Like me. Yeah.
We're not supposed to have a blue crab in us. So, but, yeah, it's. I'll tell you what, though, if you want to have some fun right now, you go behind the shrimp boats in the mornings, and it's bonitas, jacks, sharks, there's tarpon moving around. There's all kinds of stuff off the beach right now.
So, yeah, I think the chip, I think some of the, we've been having a better luck getting bonita than in some of the previous years.
Yeah. Well, I hear that music playing, guys.
Have a good day, man.
All right, bud. Tell Leon we said hey.
I'm right here, brother. Hey.
How you doing, Leon?
I'm going to be, Vic, I'm going to be Chip's shadow this morning.
There you go. Y'all going in the river?
Not sure yet. I'm looking at the water right now, putting my finger up in the air after I licked it.
All right, sluggo, don't shoot nothing now.
All right, I'll try not to.
All right, buddy, y'all take care. Thanks for the call, Chip. Good luck. Good luck out there today. And we'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing show.
We are.
You heard the number, 222-8255 or 222-TALK. And give us a call if you'd like to. Let us know if you're getting out there today. Let us know if you've been having a better time out there. Fishing has been tough. I haven't been to the jetties in a while, and I haven't talked to Captain Kirk Wallace. I know he fishes out there a lot. I need to probably give him a holler this week and see what's going on out there. But I know up in the river and the creeks it's been pretty tough because of the fresh water and stuff like that. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, bite might be still better out there.
Been tough in Arlington too.
Yeah, imagine, you know, the fresh water's down there. You know, like it has been. Of course, now we've been having a little bit less rain each time. I know they're talking about some rain coming again, but you know, normal rains we've been having in the summertime over the past few years doesn't really seem to affect it, because it's not like an all day or an off and on deluge of rain, you know, coming through.
Seemed to fire them up, actually, going after the afternoon rains. If you could get in a few hours of fishing right before dark, it seemed to really turn the fish on.
Well, I think that's one of the things Ted and I was talking about before you drove up this morning, was the barometer. And when you get those little storms coming in through, you see that barometer will drop a little bit, and that kind of fires them up too, you know. Let's get Henry on here and see what's going on. Morning, Henry.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing good.
Henry. Good morning.
Well,
morning. How you doing?
We're in the air conditioning, so we're doing good.
Amen to that.
Okay. And there are no gnats.
Well, yesterday the wife gave me a little honey-do list, and, you know, I'm having my grandson come over and birthday party, and last year I bought him a rod and reel, a little Zebco, and I was showing him how to cast into his new pool that my wife bought. And it's a nice, actually, a big pool for the kids, probably about 8 or 10 get in it. Well, I had a plug on the end of that line.
Uh-oh.
Last year. And the last cast that he caught the... We were done with the pool anyway, so I need to let the air out. I got to let out because he snatched that sucker and then tore that liner. Well, I forgot. So yesterday she goes, you make sure you put that pool up this tomorrow morning before you go fishing. So I put water in it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I forgot. So I'm putting air in it this morning. And it was going out faster than I was putting it in.
Right.
Last year I I'm going to Walmart right now to get me another pool before the wife gets out.
That's probably the best move, Henry. Just go get another one.
Next time, just remember, just put a piece of lead on the end line. Don't leave the lure. Put a little repeller on it. You know,
they got these little plastic plugs you can put, plugs that you can put on there. They're called casting plugs. No hooks on it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd be the potty pooper.
It's a nice pool, though. It's a shame you only got one use out of it, but anyway.
Well, just don't tell
her. I got a question for you, though.
Uh-huh.
We're a member of the business club, and we rent the head boat out and go out on a trip every year.
Yes, sir.
And they're trying to plan it so that when we go out, we can keep the snapper. You guys have any idea when they're going to have the snapper season
about having a weekend in July.
Not looking good.
And I mean, that's coming up pretty quick. Now, when they announce it, you better book it right then. Because let me tell you, it's I haven't looked at my newsletter this week. I've been pretty busy, so I haven't. I get newsletters on my email. And I haven't been able to really check it out. But, you know, it's if they do open it in July, as soon as they announce it, you better book it. Because let me tell you, those headboats will be full.
That's just sad when you go out there and you catch a chicken snapper and you got to throw them back down there.
Well, if you check with you could call them over there and see if they've heard. Because let me tell you, they'll be one of the first ones to know, too.
Yeah. You guys haven't heard anything?
That I've heard that they were talking about opening in July. I see last year it was in November, but they're talking about opening in July. So,
and Henry, it's open for comments right now, so it would be good if you could get to their website and make a comment like you'd like your snapper back.
Yeah, and the comment period is open until July the 18th.
Okay.
So you can get on National Marine Fisheries website and make a comment.
Now, the gentleman with you said it's not looking good based on, as far as not opening, they're not going to do it in July, or they're just not going to have
I know so far is they were talking about doing it in July. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know if anything's come up. There hasn't been no dates or anything yet that I knew about, but they could have come up. It was looking like the second Friday in July each year they were going to be the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. And they were talking about the second Friday in July. And I've got it right here from what the last newsletter said. And I can't remember. I don't know what the date of this newsletter is. It just says spring 2018. But the second Friday in July, they're talking about starting it each year then. NOAA Fisheries. So, I would go ahead and try to call and get your company booked up with one of the head boats so that you could get in there. Because as soon as they do announce it and the public knows about it, you won't get a spot on those boats.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other good fish out there too, Henry. You guys can go out and catch AJs and trigger fish and...
Yeah.
And they're great
eating. We did well last time.
Keep us tuned.
Myself, personally, last year, I probably brought in four amberjack, big amberjack.
Yeah.
And it was fun, you know. So,
well, keep
mutton snappers and sea bass. So.
Yeah.
Well, keep us tuned in here for a few minutes because I see Captain Kirk's on here. I'm going to ask him if he knows anything he's on the line to. So, you know, keep us tuned in and see if he knows that that's going to be for sure or not, you know, opening. And, you know, we'll see. I'll see if I can find out something and then talk about it on the air while we're on here. So keep us tuned in on your way to Walmart.
All right. Thanks.
And keep those hooks out of the pool this time now.
Yeah, I tell you.
Yeah, practice plugs only.
Yeah, all right.
All right, appreciate it, Henry.
Bye.
All righty. Captain Kirk, how you doing?
Good morning, Kirk.
I'm doing good, Captain Vic. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
Doing good, Captain.
Nice to be heard from.
Do you happen to know if that's if the snapper's going to be open the second Friday in July?
There has not been an official announcement, but what I understand is from a pretty reliable source, I was told day before yesterday, we're not going to get it. They're not going to open it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to open it in July. I checked again my emails this morning before I headed to our show, the outdoor show.
Yeah.
And there has been no official announcement through the SAFMC. Or SAFMC, Southland Green Fisheries Commission, in regards to the opening of the red snapper season in July. But I was told day before yesterday from a pretty reliable source that it's not going to open. So,
oh, wow, man. I was hoping. Yeah, I was kind of hoping they would do that because of the nor'easters they have so much in November, you know?
Well, you know, we went to a couple of the workshop meetings in regards to the tablet recording for the commercial fleet, charter fleet, to begin to take records for them. And in that meeting, we discussed the fact that we were given some pretty lousy opportunities last year because of the weather. They said it was a decision-making process, and it took a while to go through to get it passed. You know, I felt that the timing was very awful for that. Of the 9 days we were given, I know that I only had the opportunity to get out one day. And on that one day, it was even left up to the customers. They said, look, based on what we can catch out there, we would prefer not to. So I didn't even fish the whole 9 days.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the guys, Dennis Young was with me at that meeting, Captain Steve Mullen, Captain Brad Smith, Captain Richard Bloom, and I think of that whole group in that room. I think Dennis said he got out 3 days, maybe four. You know, it's kind of like trying to plan a wedding. You don't plan a wedding in the worst winter month of the year.
Isn't that right?
You know, and I really use that as an example, guys. I was like, God, you know, why would you do that? I said, it's almost painful.
I know.
And they've kind of said, yeah, we agree. And I said, well, then why did you do it? And they said, well, we gave you something. I was like, well,
you know, yeah.
It always seems like we're in a place where we've got to give back, and the council just doesn't seem to want to give in. You know, I don't understand. It seems to me there's a lot of politics behind the screens that maybe we don't know about.
Yep, I think so too.
The program seems to be something that's heavy on their hearts, and I don't know. I worry about that we put ourselves in a place where we're selling an actual commodity to the highest bidder. It just seems like we're headed in that direction.
We just need to get the president to do a snapper rally for us.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I mean, that being said, I don't see that happening. Offshore fishing's been real good, guys. I know you're going on a break, but weather looks good. People need to get out and fish.
Been working at the jetties?
Not much going on. It's hard to get warm. But the beach fishing, offshore stuff, there's bait on the beach. Things off the beach, on the party ground, the strike the fish going up. It's looking to be a good season.
Good deal.
Good deal. Yeah, I saw some beach fishermen taking off in contender types yesterday. So.
Yeah, I haven't hadn't spoken to you in a while, so I was wondering about the jetties, how they were working, because I've been kind of up in the river and the creeks a lot here lately.
Yeah, been a little slow.
Well, I sure
have a great show, man. Have a great day.
I sure appreciate it, Kevin. Appreciate you calling us here.
Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care.
Hope to talk to you soon. And, Lori, if you can hold on, we'll be right back, and I'll get you on.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is trying to smooth over some of the differences with G7 trading allies at the summit in Quebec. He set out to defuse some tensions with friendly batter and offered some claims of progress in those trade talks, but he's also spoken very openly about some of the tensions and his desire to obtain better trading terms with some of America's key allies. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has brought new obstruction charges against President Trump's campaign chairman and a longtime associate who prosecutors have said has ties to Russian intelligence. The new charges were unsealed Friday against Paul Manafort. They come just days after prosecutors accused the men of attempting to tamper with witnesses. Manafort awaits trial on charges related to his foreign lobbying efforts. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 75 points. Oil prices down 21 cents. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Don't stress over a leaky or damaged roof. Just call Perkins Express Roofing. Perkins Express Roofing is available 24/7. If you've had damage from a storm or accident, there's a good chance insurance will cover it. And Perkins Express Roofing will do all of the paperwork for you. If you're remodeling, renovating, or building a new home or building, let Perkins Express Roofing's parent company, MCM Builders, do a free estimate and show you how much they can save you. From a leak to a whole roof, Perkins Express Roofing is locally owned and operated and totally licensed and insured. Your roof is one of the most important parts of your home. Trust the professionals at Perkins Express Roofing. Call 904-525-2277 or 626-2860. Currently hiring sales reps. Equal opportunity employer. Perkins Express Roofing says, we keep you covered. 525-2277 or 626-2860. State license number CCC 133-0452.
If you're relocating within or out of the Jacksonville area or in need of residential property management or planning new construction, then you need Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build, call Home Finder Realty. And for residential property management up to 4 units, Robert McDonald has a challenge. Shop everybody else, then get the best offer from Home Finder Realty. Call 241-5501, 241-5501, or click hfrjacks.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, June 15th at 7 p.m., Planetarium Night Live presents Islands in the Sky at the Museum of Science and History on the South Bank in Jacksonville. Saturday, June 16th at 7 p.m., enjoy I Love the 90s at the St. Augustine Amphitheater. And Saturday, June 16th at 8:30 p.m. at Shake, Rattle, and Roll 50s Style Dance at the Pontevedra Concert Hall on A1A in Pontevedra Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
The 2018 election season is underway. WBOB is your 2018 election authority. Every candidate.
And coming up next, Bob White, chairman of the Republican Liberty Caucus, who is also running for governor.
Every issue.
That's why today I'm announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House.
Every day. WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Hey, there's a crash at I-10 West at the ramp to McDuff. Watch out for that one. A lot of construction also over at Kingsley Avenue East before Doctors Lake Drive. All the lanes there are blocked in Clay County. 30% chance of showers today. Partly sunny, high 87. Rain continues tonight. Partly cloudy skies down to 71. 73 currently, AM 600, WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and Lori's been patiently waiting. I think patiently, anyway.
Hopefully.
Hey, Lori, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. I know this is
really ignorant questions, so I'll take my enlightenment off the air. Well, I'm just saying, I'll take my enlightenment off the air. Just exactly explain to some of your listeners like me, what exactly is a mud meadow?
Oh, okay.
And I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Lori.
Thanks for holding on, Lori.
A mud minnow, if you buy them at the bait shops, Browns Creek Fish Camp usually has some killer mud minnows. But anyway, they're a smaller version, so to speak, of the mullet. They're an actual different species than a mullet. They will stay alive a lot longer on the hook than a mullet will. Usually a lot more friskier than a mullet. When you put him on the hook, he's wiggling really hard. They come within... You know, a small one's about an inch and a quarter, you know, something like that, inch and a half. A bigger one could be 3 inches, 3 1/4 inches, something like that. And they're pretty fat. They're pretty big around, about the size of your thumb. But they are very good bait for flounder, trout, redfish. Of course, jacks and bluefish and all those will eat just about anything. But trout, flounder and redfish love them, and normally we catch a lot of redfish on them too in the creeks, and I like to use mud meadows in the creeks for you know, redfish, even, because that gives you, during the summertime in the fall, that gives you a bigger chance of catching some flounder. And then whenever you're reeling in the line, a lot of times the trout will hit it too whenever you're reeling him in to cast him back out. And that's why I like to use mud meadows a lot during the summertime. Here lately, the redfish bite has been so slow. I mean, we're still catching them, but they've been so slow that we've been catching most of them on crab, like we did yesterday, and also day before yesterday, Wednesday, and all that. We've been catching most of our redfish on cut blue crab. But a mud minnow, I'll try to find a photo of them, and if you've got Facebook, I'll put it on the Still Just Fishing Show Facebook page. I'll put a picture of them on there. But you can buy them at, you know, B&M Bait and Tackle, Arlington Bait and Tackle, Browns Creek Bait and Tackle on Extra Drive. Most of your bait shops have mud minnows. They have live shrimp, mud minnows, and crabs and fiddlers. So if you just ask for some mud minnows, they'll show you exactly what they are. But I'll try to find a photo of one of them, photograph, and then put them on the... Still Just Fishing Show Facebook page.
They're so, pretty hardy minnows.
Yeah. Actually, when we used to do flooded grass fishing, where years ago before I started chartering, I'd go out and wade the grass flats, and you put live shrimp in one shirt pocket, they would die. excuse me. But they would stay the same color for a little while. But I would put mud minnows. I could put about 6 or 8 mud minnows in my other shirt pocket and just take and wet it real good, you know, just take water and just put it in your pocket, and then it'll, of course, run out through the shirt. But as long as those mud minnows stayed wet, they'd stay alive in your pocket for an hour and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, as long as they're wet, they would stay alive. And this, they're a very hardy bait, and that's one of the reasons I really like them a lot.
I used to throw them in my aquarium at the house when I get back. I just throw them in the fresh water.
They don't do well in the washer, though.
That's right.
I'll try to find that picture, Lori, and if you have any other questions, please give us a call back. And but I'll try to find that photo here while we're doing the show, and Still Just Fishing Show Facebook page, and I'll put it on there as soon as I can pull one up. And talking about the tough bite yesterday, you know, actually Rick Riles just texted me a few minutes ago and said that it looks like the snapper season may be open in August. He said it will happen in August. So Henry, was that Henry that called in? I think it was, yeah, about the snapper. Maybe you might want to check about August and see if that's going to be one of the months they might open it up.
And better late than never.
Yeah.
But actually, any of these months like this, I mean, you know, even though it's so hot, you know, and you don't have a lot of breeze going on, that's the best time they should open it up, when people can get out there, because like Captain Kurt was talking about, you know, giving us open season in November when you got 25, 30 knot nor'easter. I mean, who can go out and fish in that, you know? And you still have people, I mean, talking to Commander Robert Butts from the Coast Guard and all in the years past, whenever they'd open the season, even if they had 8-10 foot seas, people want snappers so bad, they'd try to go out there and get them anyway.
Yeah, and you get beat up in that.
Oh, yeah, that's that. I mean, I would not even want to be out in that, mm-hmm. but people would go out in that, you know, just to, because that was the season. So mm-hmm. they'd have to go out there and get them, you know.
That's why they made all those jokes showing pictures of Shad Khan's yacht out there for snapper.
Yeah, you'd probably have to have something like that to get them, you know. But, you know, it's such a shame that they have them. They had the open season like they did, you know, then, you know, for that particular time of the year, because that is always known for a lot of nor'easters. I mean, we talk about sheep's head fishing a lot, in which is so good in November and first part of December. But in November, you just kind of have to change your game plan and go out there and fish like the last of the outgoing low tide, the first of the incoming, so you could be down below the rocks, you know, because of the northeast winds and the seas, you know. You go out there and try to fish on the last of the incoming tide, and you got those waves coming up and over the rocks and everything, and it's so rough in there, and sheephead bite so light. So, but that's always been a time that whenever I get people wanting to go sheephead fishing, I tell them, well, let's skip the reds and the creeks and let's go do that, you know, because you want to do that like on that lower tide where the rocks can be some protection, you know. And usually when you're up next to the rocks like that sheephead fishing, you know, at the lower tide, it's pretty smooth next to the rocks.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, nobody wants to fish them in a soup sandwich.
No, it gets so bad. And then sheephead bite so light, so that's, you know, it's better to have the smoother water like that too, you know. But so hopefully they'll open that season in August. If Captain Rick Riles was telling me on there that it probably happened then. So we'll keep a check on it and see if we can find out something too.
That would be good. People, everybody knows that there's just a ton of those fish out there. I saw a video that Joe Kissel put out from Tisiri, and the underwater video of this one artificial reef area, and had some natural bottom around it too. It was just covered up with snapper. I mean, just clouds of them.
Well, and you know, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, stuff like that. Did you ever see anybody catching snapper on a flatline kingfish fishing? Never did.
I never saw a snapper bite a barracuda on the tail either until I was out with Captain George a few years back. Yeah, the snapper got that bold to bite a hooked barracuda on the tail. Yeah.
But talking to Captain Kirk Waltz and Captain Rick Riles and all over the years, the last few years, I mean, people would be out there trying to kingfish fish and a red snapper coming up to the surface eating the pogies.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was just unheard of 20 years ago, you know. I mean, you had to drop the pogies down, you know, drop bait down to the reefs, you know, to get them. But when they start coming up to the surface like that, I mean, that shows you they're
thick.
The other thing is, too, they get so thick out there that I think some of these conservation people don't realize those things are eating everything on the reefs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, when they get big, they're going to eat, you know, everything on the reef, too, out there. So, you're conserving one species, but you're wiping out
the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
If I had not been there on the side of the boat on the gunwale looking over and seen that situation, I never would have believed a snapper would be so bold as to nip a coot on the tail. But he did. I think they're just starving. They're just, you know.
Well, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to realize, I mean, there's only so much bait out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, for them to, you know, so much fry from other fish for them to eat out there that they've got to, you know, they've got to eat something.
I've been swimming in a lake and had brim sitting nibbling up there nibbling on the hair of your toes and legs and stuff. I'll be doggone if I want to be out there in the water and have snapper nibbling on me.
Or maybe some bluefish.
How about
a bluefish snapping at you?
No.
You got to keep those fingers away from the bluefish mouth whenever you start to unhook them. Because let me tell you what, when they latch on to you, I had one latch on my thumb one time years ago. They don't want to let go either. They're like a blue crab. They're going to hold on to it.
There's a reason they call them a snapper.
We'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
The soothing sounds of the carefree life of coastal birds. You too can have a worry-free life by letting Frontline Insurance navigate your path to stress-free home ownership. At Frontline, we've been there for Floridians when the seas were more than a little choppy. Nearly 90% of Frontline's policyholders were paid within 3 weeks of having the damage to their home inspected after Hurricane Irma. Let Frontline Insurance be your lifeline to security and peace of mind. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I found some good photos of mud menace. See if I can load them on here for Lori. And let's get Taylor on here. Good morning, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I think I was going to go do some sheephead fishing, but then I looked at two different weathercasts, and it said 80% rain.
Well, let me tell you, Taylor, right now it looks nice. Go.
Well, I got to help Chip. You know how that is. You know, Chip would be mad, you know.
Pull the trigger and go.
Yeah.
Because I gotta help Chip though in the morning because he needs to drop off his car to Tower Kingdom, and then I might. But
But, yeah, I would go right after that because, I mean, you know, this the weather forecast we've been having, nobody knows when we're going to get it. And let me tell you, it could be storming on one side of the town and no rain at all on the other side. I mean, the other day we fished, I want to say Wednesday. We went up in the creek for some reds, caught some reds, and then we went to the river. We was going to try to trout fish. Yeah. And I got out there by Whiteshell. You could not even see the river or Blunt Island. You know, you couldn't even see the cranes at Blunt Island. That's how bad, how hard the rain was coming.
Damn.
And then, so we went back to Sisters Creek because looking at the radar, it was coming straight toward us. And by the time we got back, got the boat on trailer, stuff like that, it had dissipated. It went away somewhere. All it did was sprinkle on us, you know.
Man, I got a question. How do we not know who these politicians are behind these threats and efforts? Like, you know who the president and the governor, and it went usually the media, you know, blast these people if they're doing something wrong. But how does these people that can side our fishery, you know, hide and we don't know who they are to talk to?
Well, it's the South Atlantic Marine Fisheries Council is the one that governs from the northern border of North Carolina down to the Keys. That's the South Atlantic. All right,
they cover. Yeah, but who's on the council though? Why don't we post these people?
Well,
on Facebook
they've got the council members' names and all. I mean, you can find the council members' names and all by going to the South Atlantic Marine Fisheries Council website. But one of the big things is. Trying to change their mind is one thing. What I've told people, like when we were doing these recreational fishing alliance rallies and things like that, was who you need to get a hold of is your congressmen, senators, the governor. You know, that's who needs to go to them and go, you know, hey, we've got to do something, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they care because it's like a dirty world we live in, you know, like the offer in the Gulf that you can resell shirt. And these commercial fishermen pay all this money to catch these fish, and they're bringing in a lot of tax dollars and all that stuff and making money. But I don't think it's that big of a deal over here. So they figure, well, let's save the fishery. So we won't give them anything and we'll keep it quiet for a while.
Well, over the years, the reason it hasn't been that big of a deal over here is because when they first started talking about shutting down Snapper, nobody showed up at the meetings. There would be actually some of the meetings that I would go to, there would actually be anywhere from about 11 to 25 people there. And then one year, after they shut it down, they had a meeting down at the Marriott, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And there was like 400 and something people down there. Well, it was already closed then.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, okay, you know, people talked about how the snapper fishery is so good. The last few years it was still open here. From the limits they started making in 1991, how the limits have actually started working really good in the last 3 or 4 years. That we had open seasons here, regular open season. It was the best snapper fishing we've had in 30 years. And then they close it down. But see, what they do, these governing boards listen to, you know, they always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Whoever complains the most, well, you get PETA and the Wildlife Defense Fund start wanting to get people to save the world, and what they're trying to do is they get people on their website, get signed petitions, they go turn in a petition that has 2 or 3 million people on it. You can't get fishermen to stick together to do that.
Oh, I know, but I don't understand how these people sit back and be intelligent and say that, oh yeah, we'll give you snapper season but only on the weekend. You got to think how many people are in Jacksonville trying to rush and get there and cause accidents on the water, and you have to deal with a bunch of idiots, don't know how to park and all that stuff. How can it be safe to go out and fishing? I thought fishing's supposed to be fun, you know, go out and have a great day. But when you can't even fish, you know, you got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to get to the boat ramp. Because if you get there at 7, the boat ramp's already packed. You can't even go fishing.
You just got to get there earlier then, Taylor.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean,
like today, you should be out there right now fishing.
Yeah, but I can chip, you know. He's like, oh, you got to help me do this. I got a flat tire, you know how Chip is. but you would think that they would say, oh, yeah, we're gonna give you a week-long in a fishing. That way we don't crowd the boat ramp and, you know, make it safe for everybody to go out there and have a good time. But I guess they don't really care. They just feel like, well, we'll just give them a little couple crumbs and they'll be happy, you know.
Let me tell you, pretty weather, the boat ramp's going to be crowded anyway, whether snapper season
or not. I know, but not like that, though, because I've been out whenever snapper season, it's been a couple years. never like that. People, whenever they hear snapper season, you got to get up there to buck crack it on and get out there. If not, it's never that crowded. I mean, it's insane the amount of people that try to go out there. I mean, you'll see people pull in front of people. If they can get in a little tiny space over there across from Mayport, they'll pull over there. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, Taylor. And you know, that we just have not had, you know, the fishing community has shown that it's an army of people that can make changes if they want to. I mean, yeah. I have said years ago when they first closed it down, you know, if you want to get noticed, you know, you get about 150 boats behind trucks, you know, on the trailers, and go downtown at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon during the weekday and stop up a traffic jam, and you'll be on the news. You'll be on national news if
they're not going to do that.
Well, that's what I mean. The fishermen won't stick together. They won't do that. But let me tell you, if you did that, I mean, how could they, you know, they can't give everybody with the trailer a ticket for down there, you know, because you're down there in the traffic just trying to move in the traffic like the rest of the people.
I know. When I
But let me tell you, let me tell you, though, the news media would be all over it because it's something against the government. So the news media would be all over it. It'd be on national news. And it would finally get some awareness of how the fishermen are being, the anglers of this country are being mistreated. But if you can't get that stuck together, you're not going to get, you know, 50 or 75 fishermen to get on national news. That's not going to happen. The news media is not, does not care nothing about that.
We couldn't even get the pier fix when I was trying to fix it. They're like, oh, Taylor's just complaining again. I'm like, no, I'm trying to stick up for what I like, you know, what I believe in, you know. Yeah.
Well,
people won't even like stick up for the pier. It's like it's abandoned. They won't even open it now. Now, if you want to go fishing at the pier, because the management company can't afford to pay payroll, they're not even open at 6. They open at 8 now, so you got to go 8 to 8. Yeah. So when the good fishing is 4 to 7, you can't go because they won't even open it up.
Well, I think every Friday afternoon, stopping up traffic, getting on national news every Friday afternoon for a while, you'd get somebody's attention. Mm-hmm. But that ain't gonna happen. But I appreciate it. So you got a new boat? You got a new boat?
I was going to get that boat, but it didn't work out. So I guess I put the money back into my business.
Well, I wouldn't put it back into business. Save it. You're going to run across another boat.
Oh, yeah, I know. I saved it. I'm going to wait till I make even more money, and then I find something else, and I'll buy.
That's right. Now, I've got one of my customers is going to sell his boat, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it when we come back, so keep us tuned in.
Well, I got a whole segment almost.
See?
There you go.
All right, Taylor, keep us tuned in. I'll tell what all those guys are going to have, life jackets, everything going with it. So,
all right,
you know.
Talk to
you. All righty. Bye-bye. All righty. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing to complain on the radio show. It's another thing to complain at the boat ramps and bait shops. But it's not going to do anything until you get on national news and make these congressmen and senators and tell, you know, realize that, hey, we're voters and we're going to vote you out if you don't do something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if you take something, a simple act, so, you know, as far as like getting on downtown traffic Friday mm-hmm. afternoon, let me tell you, you'd get noticed.
Yeah,
absolutely. You'd be on national news.
Mm-hmm.
People would realize, hey, these guys have got, you know, a real
cause.
I mean,
a real cause and a real
issue
that real we're issue. Dealing with.
Yeah, we got a real issue that we've been mistreated by. And how does everybody get the attention on the news? They're protesting.
I wonder if Rebecca can help us out with that on the, you know, the news. Don's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Help rally up some people to get us heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know. It would be really, you'd have every news station down there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Every news station in this town would be down there. We'll be back after this.